Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Bessie Fletcher. I'm your host this morning, a beautiful Saturday morning, as always. Thank you guys for tuning in. It's going to be an exciting show today. I was excited when, of course, every time I'm writing down the words that come through my spirit, I get excited about it. So I'm always excited. Every Saturday morning I get up and I'm excited because I know that I have you, my audience, participating and looking and listening, and it gives me the energy that I need to do what I need to do on Saturday mornings. So I ask you to sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. First of all, let's say thank you to God, which is why all of this is. You know, I thank God just for the opportunity to be able to get up on Saturday morning and to give a little that I have, which is when I'm not using little in the sense of the word, you know, most people think of a small content, but I'm looking at what I give compared to the overall, and to be humble about being able to do that and have individuals come on the radio program and take time out of their schedule, and just want you to know how grateful I am, and I thank God every Saturday and day, every day, for the opportunity to do that. Of course, I'm your host. I'm Dr. Bessie Fletcher. And I just want to say thank you. We're on blogtalkradio.com, www.blogtalkradio. And for those of you that may want to call your friends, you know, you can tell them to call in. If they don't want to listen via Skype on the Internet, you can also just dial in. We have so many of our listeners, even though they are busy, they will dial in and listen to the radio program and participate when they can. Just simply dial 347-539-5078. That's 347-539-5078 to listen to the conversation as mothers and daughters discuss the various topics each Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. And if you decide that you want to participate, then you simply click 1 to join the conversation. And we'll get to you and hear what you have to say on our topic. The topic today is mothers and daughters dealing with a hidden secret within their intro conversation. And I really like that. Now, you all know me, at the most of the audience that know me know that that's where I come from. My platform is the intro conversation. I feel that is the fuel that really drives you in the direction in which you're going. It is whatever you're saying within your intro conversation, it dictates to your subconscious mind, which will fuel you in a direction. And when we are not going in the right direction, we simply have to change what we say. Okay, for the audiences that are just coming on, I'm Dr. Bessie Fletcher. I'm your host. You're on blogtalkradio.com. And, of course, you can call us at 347-539-5078. Click 1 to join the conversation. Update, thank you, ambassadors. I always want to thank you. We had an ambassador week meeting this week, and we changed that. I'm just saying this because it was such an added fun. We were at one of our ambassador's home, Cynthia, and I don't think she mind me saying that. She hosts us this week, and instead of, you know, focusing on just ambassador meetings, we actually sat down and watched a movie, Colored Girls, and actually had a discussion of that and talked about, you know, life and, you know, from one mother and daughter to another. So I just want to thank her for that. I appreciate the ambassador daughters. I could not do what I do in programming and planning Each of these ladies have unique businesses of their own, and we're all coming together to partner for upcoming and future events that will involve you. And hopefully, with your business, you can become a partner with us through the Ambassador Daughters as well. If you're interested in that, you can call us at 786-462-6470. That's 786-462-6470. And you may say to yourself, well, you know, I don't have a business. You are a business. Anything that you do, you've got to conduct yourself in a business manner in order to accomplish. You run your house, you have a budget, you have to make plans. Everything is governed with the same rules. So you are a woman, you are a daughter, then we would love to have you involved. Bring as many of your mothers and daughter friends, which are all women, to the table, and let's start mother and daughter workshops and programs within your community. Let's get out. Let's pass the word. Let's do something. If you want to put together a mother and daughter workshop in your community, just call me, 786-462-6470, and I will come. You don't have to have 100 people, 200 people. Most times people say, well, you know, I just have... No. Get 5 or 6 mother and daughter teams and let's do something. You know, even if I'm just there via the telephone, you know, let's do something in our community. Get out and see what you can do to add to the mother and daughter relationship and help give back to something that you believe in. I want to thank the young ladies for the vision board. We had our vision board meetings on Monday night at 8 p.m. Just wonderful. This particular week, it was, you know, everybody was giving out their visions and what they wanted to do, and they were good. They were good. But I threw a monkey wrench into it, as they can say. I told them, I said, I want you to dig deep. I want that vision that you've had since you were a teenager, that vision that has been hidden deep inside of you, that you are afraid to tell anybody because you, you know, someone said, oh, girl, that's not going to happen. You're never going to do that. At your age, how can you do that? That's the vision we want. Yeah, we want the other stuff, but we want that one that you have just given up on, going to college, building a business, finding that connection with another human being. What is the goal? And then we're going to define that goal, and that's the goal we're going to work on. And we have a whole year to work on this thing. I'm not looking for a year for these things to manifest. We are going to, when we put our images together on Monday night at 8, you know, motivation is a quick, you know, hyped up 30 minutes, let's get it done, how did you do this week, and move on. And then we go back out for the week to do what we say we're going to do. So if you want to join us for that, this Monday night is the last Monday night that you can join. If you don't call in on Monday night, then, you know, we won't be taking anybody else into the group because we will have traveled just a little too far to add someone else on mentally. So call us at 712-432-3030. That's 412-432-3030. And you can simply, they ask you for a code. The code is 599-178. 599-178. We'd love for you to join us. We're on there at 8 and we're off as soon as we possibly can. We try to do it within 30 minutes. Sometimes it lasts about 40, but we're having a good time with it. Again, I'm Dr. Betsy Fletcher. I'm your host for today, and our topic is mothers and daughters dealing with hidden secrets within their intra conversation. Hidden secrets within their intra conversation. And like I said, most people that know me know that is my platform, the intra conversation. Now, what is the intra conversation? I don't want to start a conversation with you and have you like not knowing exactly where we're coming from with this for our new audiences, people that are coming in for the first time. The intro conversation is that ongoing conversation that you have within your head, that conversation that dictates to you, do this, don't do that, or, oh, man, I knew something told me not to do that. I'm talking about that conversation. I'm talking about the one that follows you 24 hours a day, The one that when you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning is talking to you. The one when you go to the bathroom is talking to you. The one that you don't know what to do is talking to you. And you're trying to fight within this conversation to find the truth, to find the answer. What should I do? Where should I go? How should I pull out from this intro conversation what I need to do? That's the one I'm talking about. As most of you know, that I base my theory of discord between a mother and daughter relationship, and I base that on the lack of communication and the lack of honest communication between a mother and her daughter. And that goes back because when you're looking at honest communication, you know, that means you're really saying what you're really feeling from your heart. How many times do you actually get to do that and do it in an honest way and feel that the person can receive it honestly without hurt and just look at it, this is the way that she's feeling and, you know, I'm not going to take this personally. It's not directed to hurt me. It's just sharing the thoughts that's in her mind. So when I'm doing mother and daughter workshops, I'm looking at the conversation that the mother has in her head, not physically looking at it, but, you know, from a mental perspective, the conversation that a mother has in her head and then the conversation that a daughter has in her head. Now, the key is to bring those two conversations together. And when they come together and they reunite to each other, they find themselves in a situation where they will say, wow, I didn't know. It's a simple thing. It's never anything so profound. It's usually a simple thing that has divided that connection in their conversation, which will deliver the honesty out of their words. Now, I know many of you will say, no, I don't have that problem with my daughter. You know, me and my daughter, we're fine. You know, I know. I've been doing this for almost, 14 years, and I've had every situation you could possibly think of coming in and out of a mother and daughter workshop. And one of the ones that I think is so cute, and I just really, my heart just laughed when I hear someone say that, oh, you know, my daughter and I, we're just fine. We don't have any issues at all. You know, but what we decided to do was to come to the mother and daughter workshop because, you know, I told my daughter, come on, let's go. We can share, you know, our relationship. And that's fine because we want and we always have a mixture of mother and daughter relationships from all levels. But keep in mind, no matter where you are in your relationship with your daughter, you can always get better. You can always get to a clearer definition of how and what that daughter or mother is feeling. So it's not an offense that you've done something wrong, that because communication is very, you know, it's sensitive. Let's use the word sensitive. Communication is sensitive, you know, because the words have so many definitions, you don't know the interpretation that the receiver is getting from your words. So therefore, you really don't know if you're having a clear communication if you don't do certain things. Mothers and daughters, I want all of you to just stop for a moment, and I just want you to re-examine, really re-examine your thoughts as we discuss some of the topics of communication and the unspoken words that are left that are left in your heart and they have created hidden secrets for one reason or another. Now, when we're talking about hidden secrets, we're going to get a little bit more involved in that as we go through the conversation. But just think of yourself. How many times have you walked away from a conversation and didn't say what you wanted to say because you didn't really want to hurt the person or you didn't want to add to the confusion? So instead of really getting what you feel out, you walk away, with those thoughts and you just push them down. Well, that's a hidden secret of your true feelings that were not released at that time when you felt it was important to share your thoughts on the matter. So you're saying, well, why are we talking about hidden secrets? It's a poison. It will kill you. It will destroy you mentally. And where the mind goes, the body follows. So if you poison your mind, it's a slow death, because hidden secrets lie and they wait until here it comes down your path and it jumps out. Hidden secrets are things that are hidden in your subconscious mind that will reappear when necessary. And what do I mean by that? Think of a time when you're in a room and you see someone and they're coming. Now, you're having a good time. Everybody is enjoying themselves, laughing, talking, and this one person walks into the room and there has been a hidden secret or something that you just let go, you thought you did, but it actually went down into your subconscious mind and it pops right back up. And then all of a sudden, here she comes. And the whole mood, we would say the whole mood in the room changed, but no, the whole mood in your room, your mind's room changed. Because then you have pulled up a hidden secret, some anger, some unforgiveness that pops right up and changes your environment instantly. Another example, as a little girl, let's just say when you're around 5 to 12 years old, you think of a time when you wanted to say something to your mother, and she told you to just shut up, or she said, I don't have time. We'll talk about it later. I'm busy. And you just walked away. Just reflect on that time, on a time, if it ever happens to you. I know it has happened to me. And I walk away hurt. Now, my mother didn't really mean to hurt me, but I walked away hurt because I had something that I needed to share with her. I needed to say this. And so what I do, I walk away with what? My intro conversation. I'm telling my conversation, and I'm talking to myself, and I'm saying what I want to say. And sometimes, you know, my mother heard some of the things I was saying. You talk about getting a whipping, I would have really got my little behind torn up. But, you know, I was just angry. But then again, I was a little different from most children. I was kind of daring. I would go back to the conversation, and I would say, well, you know what, Mother, you didn't hear what I had to say, and I needed you to hear it, and I just kept talking. And sometimes it got me into trouble, but I would just keep talking. Now, you can't tell that I like to talk, I know, from this radio program. But, you know, I just never was a person that would walk around with something in my heart that I needed to say to someone else and didn't say it. It just, I couldn't handle that, and I still can't to this day. So I tell my friends, you know, you don't have to worry about it, or anyone that I'm dealing with, business partners or whatever. If I have something that I need to say to you, I'm going to say that to you. I won't go tell Mary, Sue, John, and none of those other people because they can't do anything about the situation. I will tell you and then give you an opportunity to say to me, you know, that's what I said, but that's not what I meant. And then it's a discussion. And once we have that discussion, I'm finished. I'll say, let's go to dinner. We can go eat. I'm through. Clear. Clear the consciousness. But even as good as that is, I'm human. And I still had things that I pushed down as well. I'm not saying that I am clear. No, every day I'm dealing with cleaning out. As they say, cleaning out your closet, getting things out, so that you can be lighter and lighter and find that deeper peace from within. Well, what we call that is denial training. And as a child, when you have to walk away and you're denied some conversation or something that you feel that you need from your mother or your father, and you have to walk away, that's denial training. And people don't realize they're training you how to be denied in your life, and then you take that and you build your defenses toward that denial, and then you say, okay, this is the wall that I put up. And then as you get older, you build bigger and bigger walls. denial in training. That's when you are taught rejection through contradictional words and behaviors from your mother and from other people. When people reject you, when they contradict their action or their behavior through a word, you know, you have to look at it and you have to weigh it and you have to make a decision. What does that mean to me? How does that affect me? And as a child, they look at it, most children, is that she doesn't love me. Because let's look at the fact that if you were a child and you were rejected and you thought you were rejected more than your sister or more than your brother, then you're going to, most children, and I find this as a case from being a psychologist and being in therapy, most children relate that as not being loved. She loved my brother more than she loved me. And then that's denial in training. They build up what they need to build up to keep themselves safe and within a wall, a retainer wall that they create. So you were dismissed or you were eliminated by words and you were refused by the negative responses, denial in training. In other words, you were hurt. So you walk away engaged in your conversations, as I told you earlier, in your head, and you think back, you know, you're just talking and you're just saying all kind of little things. Sometimes little kids, you know, you walk away, you just say something you know you were taught not to say, and it's, as you say, an adult word, but you just say it because you're hurt and you know nobody's hearing you, so you're just saying it to yourself, but you're actually planting seeds into your subconscious mind and you're being trained how to be denied. So from those early years, you start building a protection wall. Now, after years of hidden intra-conversations, you find yourself asking, have I ever had an honest conversation with anyone? And I ask yourself that. And I know you say, of course I have honest conversations. That's Fletcher. I don't lie. No, I'm not saying you lie. But what we're going to talk about, have you ever really had an honest conversation? Because I'll give you an example, denial and training and how easy it is to learn those lessons early in life. Well, that's a light training when we're talking about being denied or not being able to get your way at the time or be able to get your conversation. You know, those are hidden things that are hidden deep in your subconscious mind, which is a place where all of your records are stored. Everything that you encounter, every word, every conversation, every television program, everything that you hear, see, or do is recorded into your subconscious mind. And it's there to replay itself whenever it's necessary. You don't have to call it up. It will automatically come up when it's in an atmosphere or a situation or hear another word that will trigger it. And I tell you, it's just like a computer, because you think about Google. When you're talking about Google, you're talking about, oh, just Google so-and-so. Okay, well, what do? Just put in this. You may not put in the whole sentence. You may put in a word. That word will pull up so many things that's related to that word. You know, it's just, you'll find thousands of different situations that relate to that word, and that's how you find information on Google. Well, it's the same thing in your subconscious mind. One word can pull up a lot of stuff. One word that's hidden in your subconscious mind can pull up verbal abuse. You will think of the time when you were cursed at, you were treated, talked down by other people. Even I had a gentleman tell me, he said, just yesterday, he said when he was a young boy in the third grade, he was diagnosed as dyslexia. And the teacher told him, you might as well get acquainted with the janitor, because that's all that you're going to ever do. And the kids picked on him for years, and they would say, because the janitor actually lived across the street from him in his neighborhood. So they, oh, you better get accustomed to talking to the janitor because that's all you're going to be. And she said that in class. But now you're talking about a gentleman that is a clergyman, a gentleman that found God, and a gentleman that found out the truth and that he could be whoever he wants to be. And even with his dyslexia, he is now working on his PhD, and he has learned and became head of his class because God showed him, I called you to be. So he worked on removing the verbal abuse. Then you're talking about physical abuse. There's a lot of physical abuse that children go through, adults go through, but they don't tell anybody. Those are hidden secrets. They keep them. They push them deep down inside of their subconscious mind. And then you got the mental abuse, people ignoring you, people acting as if you're not good enough, you're not wanted in this setting, and you push it down, and then you move on. You have times when children have gone through starvation, didn't have food in the house to eat. No one said anything about it. Everybody walks out and acts as if everything's okay. But you know you missed the meal, and you got starvation abuse. And then you got the rejection. Nobody wants to be around you. Nobody wants you to be their friend. They don't think you're good enough. And you push it down, and you move on. And then you got molestation. Someone molests you as a child. And how many times? There's millions of situations that have been pushed down because you don't want somebody to know that your uncle, your cousin, your brother, your father, your mother, whoever molested you, you push it down. And then you're raped. It's a hidden secret. You push it down. So you think of all these things that we keep pushing down into the subconscious mind. Someone tell you you're dumb. It's called dumb abuse. You're not good enough abuse. They compare you with someone else abuse. You should be more like your sister. Why you know not like your sister? She's always on time, always this, and she's that. And then that comparison, you push it down. And then you're abandoned. It's called the abandoned abuse. Someone left you. Someone never came for you. You have a father that just left you, never gave you a dime in his life. You have a mother that walked away, left you at your grandmother's house. You know, you're left there to be raised by somebody you don't even know. You're being abused by people because you're being abandoned. You wonder, as a child, why don't they love me? Why did she do this to me? But you push it down. And the list can go on and on and on. And you can fill in your own blank. But when the hidden hurts within your subconscious mind are placed there, they never go away. Until you release those hurts from your memory. And you have the power to do that. And that's why I say, are you having an honest conversation? Because when we build our conversation upon the hurt, and we're trying to have an honest conversation, everything is built upon who you really are. But the only way you can do that is when you learn to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and learn to cast those hurts, those hidden hurts, onto God. Then you can walk away. But when you cast them, they got to pass back through you. You know, you've got to sit down and you've got to look at them individually. And I would suggest that you just take some time, sit down and write down as many hurts that you know that will wake you up in the middle of the night, that when you see things on television, it brings back. And write it out. Deal with it. Because it alters your life. It will change how you deal with things. It will change how you deal with people. And I can tell you, I can use myself as an example. And I didn't write this down, but it just came up in my spirit at this moment. All of my life, I had another family. And with that family, I wondered where they were. And when I would look at Maury or any of the talk shows, Oprah, anybody that had someone on there and they said, oh, my God, I found my sister, my brother, I found my father. After 50 years, you know, I would just break down and cry because I had a hidden secret that altered my life. And even though I was very successful, I owned my own business. I've been working for myself for many years. I had everything, you know, the dog, the cat, the whatever, you know, the house, the car. It seemed that everything was in place, and when people looked at me, they thought I was all together. But I was dealing with a hidden secret. And that hidden secret paralyzed me because I would wonder, where is my family? There's another side of me. Who are they? What are they doing? And my daughter and I would talk about that because she was the one that I could really share my real true thoughts and have an honest conversation with. And she was the one that kept saying, Mama, you've got to find them. You've got to do that. And it wasn't until she came to me and said, Mama, this is long enough. You know, I had to wait till my mother died in order for me to do it because she would have a fit. She did not want me to do it, to find my family. And I kept pushing it back and pushing it back. But I never realized how it altered my life. And even though you may put the smile out there and you may pretend that everything's okay, are you really having an honest conversation? Do you have that hidden hurt? Do you have that hidden feeling deep down inside of you? That if you didn't have it, maybe you would make another decision? Well, my daughter insists. She said, Mama, if you don't find them, I have two sons. And we don't know where they are. And I'm talking about, I was told that I had two sisters. We don't know where they are. And my sons will grow up and may marry their cousins. And we can't afford to let that happen. That's when my conscience was jolted, and I thought, my God. And I said, we'll do it later. And she said, well, suppose something happens to you. You know little, and I know even less. And that's when we started looking. And all we knew is that they were in Georgia. So, no, I didn't have a relationship with my father. But I was determined at that point, we're going to find them. And I'm telling you, just from releasing that hidden secret, my life has been totally different. I look at things differently. I found them. We talk on a daily basis. It's as if we have known each other all of our lives. And that was 50 years of finding them, and I just found them a year ago. So all I'm saying to you, are we having honest conversations? I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to us as mothers and daughters. In order for us to have that relationship with our daughters, we have got to really have an honest conversation with ourselves. We have got to go within ourselves to find out who we really are. What are the hidden secrets? And start working on them. Just work on them one at a time. Don't be afraid because then, again, we're wondering why we're in the position that we're in. It's because we have so much that is hidden that we need to release. And as it comes up, you know, deal with it and then cast the care. And then you release it. Now, I want you to forget about it because when you give it to God, he's going to forget about it. You know, I don't carry any hurt. I love my mother, I love my father, and I'm not questioning why they did what they did. I'm just moving on with me, and that is to cleanse myself of the stuff that I found a way to protect myself from. But every time I saw individuals reconnecting and coming together, my hidden secret came out. And a lot of times I was by myself, but I would just break out and start crying. Or if I just ride along in the car and think about it, I would just break out and start crying. You know, come on. How long was I going to deal with that? Was I going to die and just take it with me and not deal with it? And that's the best example I can give you. And I always told you, we'll have honest conversations. I'm not going to sit here and listen to your honest conversations and not share you mine with you. And that's a big one. Now, a hidden hurt within your intro conversation can challenge your intellect. It will have you questioning your brain power, your ability, your self-esteem, you know, because you're not sure. You're fighting against something that is that's within you, something that you have to look at from within. And you're hoping that the outside world doesn't see it. And it doesn't matter if they do or don't. It's all about you dealing with what's within you. Hidden secrets or hidden hurts within your conversation can cause you to be offensive, to take offense, and a lot of times when you shouldn't, because you build up a barrier, cause you to not have a good relationship with a male, because you build up a barrier, you know, treating them all as if they were like someone that hurt you. Hidden hurts within your conversation can cause you not to trust others. You know, you got different levels of trust. You're always watching, always wondering, you know, is this going to be a hurt? Is this going to turn into something that it isn't? You know, hidden secrets, because you have something to identify. You cannot identify hurt if you've never been hurt. So for someone to say, oh, she's not talking about me, if you know what hurt means, then you've been hurt, because you cannot identify something that you don't. No, you not have been exposed to or have not seen. Hidden hurts within your intro conversation can make you defensive about your point of view, always trying to defend your point of view. You've always got to be right. Why? Where does that come from? Check, why are you doing that? Some hidden hurt that you have to let people know, I'm right all the time. And have a hard time admitting that you're wrong. Hidden hurts within your intro conversation can interfere with your relationship. Your relationship with your daughter, your relationship with your son, your relationship with your husband, relationship with any friends, your girlfriends, cousins, siblings. Hidden hurts, because you have a definition within yourself on how you're going to be. I'm asking you to do a self-inventory of your hidden hurts and start removing them today. Just do one every day, one a day. Deal with it. And if you don't get through that one, if it takes you a week, if it takes you a month, deal with one. It took me 30 years to deal with one. I was about 27 years old when I found out I had two sisters. It took me 15 to 20 years to deal with that. So until you have an honest conversation with yourself, you'll never have an honest conversation with anyone else. And yes, I said that. Until you have an honest conversation with yourself, you will never have an honest conversation with anyone else, because your words are built on your belief system. And your belief system is based on what's in your heart. That's why God said, He looks at your heart. There lies the truth as you know it. Thank you. All right. That is the topic today. The board is full. Hidden secrets. Hidden secrets. Anybody want to talk? Click one. I feel like you all are there staring at me. I hope that it made some sense to you and that something has in touch within your soul. Good morning, 954.
Good morning. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you this morning?
Blessed, and always blessed to hear your topics and how God really works. He is just an incredible Father that always gives you whatever, wherever you are at that moment. to let you know that I know exactly where you are in thought and otherwise. And just listening to you, I'm just like, wow. Well, one of the things I wanted to share was, and I always share this with the girls that I work with substance abuse women and children. And one of the things that I'm constantly telling them is that we are as sick as our secrets, and therefore it is our secrets that keep us sick. And as I was reading my devotion on yesterday, it touched on the very thing that you are talking about today. And I will share this with you. I don't know how much time I have on the radio, but I would love to read this audience if I could. Yeah.
Okay, if it's not long, we have a lot of people waiting, but go right ahead. Make it short, folks. Can you make it short?
Okay. I think it's within about 2 minutes. It says, okay, are you tired of feeling like a victim? If you listen to and allow this to get into your spirit, freedom awaits. If you receive it at the core of your heart, I don't want to feel this way anymore. If my pain touched their lives, I would feel better. I didn't. I thought by holding it over their heads, I'll feel better. I didn't. I thought by telling everyone what they've done to me, I'll feel better. But I didn't. It only cost me friends and kept me in pain. I thought if they acknowledged how they had wronged me and how wrong they have been, I would feel better. It didn't. They didn't, and it appeared as though they refused. So I felt, and I feel even worse. I thought if I could understand why I pick such relationships, I could pick and create some better ones, and I would feel better. So I read some books and talked to the counselor. That worked, because then I uncovered some issues that pointed to me, and I just didn't have the energy to deal. Besides, it couldn't be me, could it? No, it's their fault. They're crazy. But now that I gained some understanding, I can move on. So I thought if I move, get a new house, move to a new city, I'll feel better. But I didn't. Wait, I did feel better for a while, but I'm back to those experiencing some of those same old feelings as before. Something happened yesterday, and it triggered those old memories. And I realized that I only changed addresses, not what's going on inside. Finally, I did two things. I worked, not overnight, though, but gradually, patiently, considerately, consistently. As I kept doing them, they worked. First, I decided to forgive and keep forgiving in my heart until the past no longer controlled me. Secondly, I cried out to God, turn me and I shall be turned. He answered my prayer, but of all the things that took place, my perception began to clear and my heart began to heal. Why? Because at last, getting well meant more, so much more to me than remaining a victim. I had now discovered that the decision was mine all the time. What had been the problem all those years was a heart problem. Thank you for allowing me to share that.
Oh, you're welcome. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. And that's perfect with what we're talking about today. It's all in the heart. It's all in the heart. People are walking around with broken hearts, and we are looking at them, and we're not realizing that they need to be healed. So, all right, I thank you for that. That was absolutely beautiful. Thank God for you. Let me get to someone else and see if our time is running a little short. Thank you, dear.
You're welcome.
Good morning. Good morning. 404.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I just want to say I thank God for you. This is such a recovery topic, And I just feel so many people are going to get delivered from hurt and frustration and unforgiveness and anger that they're holding in their heart. And one thing a lot of people don't realize, when you don't forgive someone, you're really not hurting that person. You're hurting yourself, because you're blocking up a whole lot of blessings that God want to pour into your life by unforgiveness. And a lot of people will say they forgive you, but they keep bringing it up. And that's not unforgiveness. That means you're still holding it in your heart and you're still blocking up a blessing. I, too, used to, you know, it's hard for me to have something heavy on my heart and not speak it. I find myself, when I used to work, I would be coming home and somebody said something to me and it was heavy on my heart. I had to turn around, call that person to the side and speak to them about it, because it's a heaviness that weighs you down. It stresses you out. It ages you, and you're really just hurting yourself by not walking in unforgiveness and letting that hurt out. But I really thank God for you for this topic, and I really feel like a lot of people are going to get blessed from it. Thank you.
Thank you so very much. I was blessed already by you even asking the phone. Have a good day. Good morning, 347. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Dr. Bessie. How are you doing? I'm really enjoying this topic this morning, and it really hit home. Intra-conversation with your mother and daughter, and that is deep. And I'm really going to do a self-inventory of myself, because that's deep. And with going back to the hurts and everything that's inside you, that you are dealing with, the hurts, the disappointment, and stuff like that. Because as a child, I felt abandoned by my father because my father left my mother. And that was very hurtful for me. It was four girls that he left. And because he left, I felt a lot of bad things happened. If my father was around and things like that, you know, wouldn't happen. I felt all of this. And I really got to take a self-inventory of that and put that in perspective. And I feel hurt. I feel, you know, bad and stuff like that. But I really want to get to know myself better, and I want to have that inter-conversation with my daughter. I also want to get to know my father, people, because of what happened, I, like, pushed them to the side. And that side of my family didn't exist to me. And for a while, that has been coming into my inter-conversation to find out about my father's side of the family. And that's what I'm really going to concentrate on and pray over it and turn it over to God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, wow, that's good. I'm telling you, you're not complete. You know, people can say what they want to. Even when I was counseling young teenagers and small children in the school system, you know, to not have that father there or not have that mother, or, you know, it really distracted them because they were so busy trying to blame themselves. And as I'm counseling, even the smallest child, it would bring something up in me. And sometimes I would tell them, I can relate. I said, God sent me to you because I can relate. I know what it's like not to have your real father. Now, it takes nothing away from my father that raised me. My father that raised me, he's living today. He's the best person in the world. I love him dearly. Please, let me say that. He is the best person in the world. I would not, never went for a, wanted for a thing. I was always well taken care of, always spoiled, rotten by my dad. But even with all of that, you still have that desire to put all your pieces together. And the older you get, it becomes more and more important to put those pieces together, because then you're broken. And until you put the pieces together,
you really can't see a true picture of who you really are. And people keep going year after year after year and don't really try to put themselves back together. Now, when you're a child, you can't do that. But as an adult and you learn and you grow closer to God, you know, and you ask God to put these things together with your family, if you ask God to put those family members back in your life, it will happen. I am a witness of that. And a witness that out of all those years of not finding them, in 2 days, people take years to find people. In 2 days, I had no name, nothing. In 2 days, I was talking to my sister. So I know it can be done once you make up your mind. You have to make up your mind to remove that. And it hinders you from growth because as we move as Christian women, we have got to be honest. And we have, I have a lot of work to do on me, and I'm assuming that maybe you all have too. I don't know. I can only do me and share. I have a lot of work to do on me and making sure that I kind of clean out, so I can better serve the flock in which God gave me, which is to tend to mother and daughter relationship and to teach on that subject from his perspective using his words. That's my assignment. But in the meantime, I'm learning the greatest lesson because then my daughter is my challenge and I'm her challenge and we take all these things and look at it and say, okay, let's make this the best thing we can do. How can we help, you know, show what we're doing by doing the best we can and maybe just open up a discussion. Nobody's here to tell anybody how to do it. Just open up a discussion. So I thank you. I pray that you continue to do that because I guarantee you, you're going to see a part of your life. I tell people it's like putting down tile. You can put tile down. If you don't put the grout in it, it never seals. And to find my family, I don't know a lot of them, but to find my sisters was the first, and that's how the grout started going in the crevices and filling it up. And as I talk to them, I'm learning more and more about the family, but more so learning more and more about the gentleman that is my biological father. And there's a lot more to learn, but every time I hear the story, it increases me and it fulfills me and it propels me to greater heights. Okay? So work on that, pray on that, and keep us informed how it works, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, 678.
Good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
I just want to first say I'm enjoying the topic for today with intro conversation. And I think a lot of times, too, we have to search ourselves and ask God in the matter. When we're having the hurt or the things that's bothering us, because I think about Psalms 139, when David asked God to search his heart, you know, and to search his thoughts, because God has, our concerns are God's concerns, and we have to always remember God is always on time. He may not be on our time, but he is the God of timing, and it's really good, because in my past, I've always been a type of person that was timid, or I would consider other people's feelings and hold things. But as we pray and we grow older in God and ask him to give us wisdom how to say things, because it's not really what you say, it's how you say it to a person. And so a lot of times, we're just like one of the callers says that she couldn't go home if someone offended her. And a lot of times in my past, I would just hold things and don't say anything. But now I thank God. I like to say that I'm better in that. We all have room for grace, but it's just a matter of asking God how to say things, pray about it, and God will open that door that you can say something to someone in love and let them know, that really hurt, or I didn't agree with that, how you talked to me. And, you know, and that person may say, well, I really didn't mean no harm by that. And once it's explained, but see, if you suppress it, the enemy can take it as a playground, build up a wall of strife and talk to your head. So what we really have to really do is keep God in front and let the Holy Spirit guide us.
I agree with you. See, that's what the inter conversation is about. You have an inter conversation. A conversation is two people. You cannot have a conversation by yourself. So that conversation is built up. You are just the listener, really. When you think, people think that they are the participant in the conversation, the inter conversation, but you're really not. You, as, let's say myself, Bessie, as the person, I am the listener. We have God, and then we have Satan. And I hate to even say the name, but if you go in with what's written, God created him. And so Satan was created by God as well. But I'm not trying to get into that kind of a teaching, but what I'm saying is that's the conversation. You got an angel on one side and a devil on the other, and they are having a conversation, and you're just listening. That's where the confusion come in at, because everybody's fighting for your soul. They're fighting for your soul. God wants you. Satan wants you. So God is telling you, you should do this, and you know when it's right. You know, people come up and say, well, you know, I didn't know. Yes, you do. Even if you're not even saved, you know, I've been on both ends of the spectrum, and you know something will come up in you and say, don't do that.
Right.
And then you got something come up in you and tell you, oh, you can go ahead and do it. Don't worry about it. Nobody ain't even going to know. How they going to know? You don't tell them, they won't know. But see, then here you come after listening to both sides of the spectrum, then you make a decision. That's where your involvement come in at. That's where your will is.
Right.
And then when you make the decision, you're going to side with one or the other. And most unsaved people are going to side with the good time Charlie, you know, because Satan's going to make it so pretty and so easy and look so good, and it's going to be exactly what you think you want, that you'll be like, okay, I'll do it, and then I can pray on it later. You know, so that's an example of the intro conversation. You are just the listener, and you stop participating when you make the decision. The conversation is never yours. The conversation is God and Satan and that battle for winning your soul. And then you make a decision. And isn't it sad? For so many years, people have made the decision to side with Satan rather than with God. And they're sitting there listening to this conversation. So from this day on, as the conversation goes in your head, you're going to be in the middle looking from the right to the left, to the right to the left like a tennis match. And you're going to be, oh, my God, I've got to make a decision. But I guarantee you're going to think about it. That's a seed that's planted in your mind. And you can suppress that in your subconscious mind because that's one you need to have. So I agree with you. It's all about the heart. And thank you very much for calling in this morning.
Thank you.
It is all about the heart. It's about what you feel, because even God himself says, I judge you according to your heart. So look into your heart, see what you suppress, and it doesn't matter. Pull it out, deal with it. If you've done something that you know you need to ask forgiveness for, repent and let it come up out of you. And if you want a good example of repentance, watch the movie Devil. I challenge you, watch the movie Devil. And it'll give you the best lesson that you need to have on repentance. It'll make it very clear to you. You'll walk away. You will have no doubt what repentance means. Trust me. So make that your movie for this week. I'm not promoting anything, but I will promote anything that will further clarify the topic in which we are dealing with. God bless you. You have a great week. I thank you for tuning in. This is Dr. Bessie Fletcher with the Mother and Daughter Bonding Roundtable on blogtalkradio.com. Have a blessed week. Remember, research your heart, write it down,
pasture care. Make it life so you can live. Good luck. Bye-bye.